Welcome into the national edition of The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In the next few minutes, we're going to welcome in the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Chris Knobloch. What a run he's been on. 16-6, it's taking over the Edmonton Oilers. They're off.
He's turned tonight. That McDavid into quite the player.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. What a coaching.
What a
just
job
an average
been.
Player before that.
Really, coming on strong now.
So they're set to take on the Ottawa Senators tomorrow night. So we'll get Chris's thoughts on that and so much more. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we just finished up in our first hour with Doug McLean talking about the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
That's a tough one for the Senators tomorrow night.
And a tough one last night.
Yeah,
they're just in Seattle.
They're in a tough spot here, man. Like, they're not at the 40-game mark. They might not be at the 35-game mark, given, you know, they had a slow schedule to start. And they've gone through a GM, two head coaches, you know, rumors about, you know, could there be a third by, you know, is it Berube or someone like that? It's just been a really rocky start to a year that came with high expectations.
Almost 50 games still to go in their season. And do you approach it now as if we are missing the playoffs?
Well, like,
and do you want to now start your assessment for next season? Or are you thinking, what, 49 games to go here?
40,
we got to make a change here to show our fan base or the rest of the league that we're not going away the rest of the season.
Yeah, you know, the St. Louis Blues team that was in last place January 1 that went on to win the Stanley Cup, you know, like Ottawa, had a lot of talent. You need a goaltender to get hot. You need a lot of things to break right. But they've just played so many fewer games than the other teams in their, you know, conference. Could a little run of success give them hope of a playoff push? Right now, they're, you know, they're 15 points out of a playoff spot, but they've played six fewer games than that team there. So, I don't know, Kip. To me, you can't roll over on the season in game 34. It's just they have too much talent to roll over.
Doug McLean mentioned the abundance of talent on the blue line. Shabbat, that he would probably move a big name.
Yeah.
He mentioned Shabbat. I mean, I like Shabbat. I just don't know if he's ever going to be able to live up to $8 million a year.
You know, when he plays and he's healthy, he plays 27 minutes. You know, he plays a ton for them. But, you know, when you have a Chychrun and you have a Sanderson, you know, when you have some guys back there that are pretty good defenders, it's not, you know, could he strengthen them somewhere else? I don't know.
Do you think it's a movable contract right now?
Yes. Oh, God. If I was a
Shabbat's
GM, Lee, I would trade
million
for,
bucks?
I would trade for GM or for Shabbat. Yeah, yes, as a GM.
I'd like him to play a lot better, I think, and produce a lot more. But
I just think, you know, how many years is left on that deal? Maybe 6, 5 years left or something? Because it was an 8-year deal initially.
Yeah. I think it's maybe even 7.
Yeah.
It was 8 times 8, was it not?
Yeah, and just looking at the, you know, where he's at in his age, you know, he's still a young defenseman. He's still loaded with talent. And the direction the salary cap is going, I don't know that, yeah, it's through 29. No, that's not right. But anyway, I just don't think that this is a guy that isn't going to be good for you and couldn't look good against the salary cap at that number later in the future. So I'm Team Shabbat here, but I understand if you feel like you have to make a change to the core, maybe that's a place you start. I don't know. You know, you get Pinto coming back here. Stutzla can be better. Kachuk's very good. Norris is good. You know, Giroux, decisions to be made there.
There is some talk now that they're going to maybe focus on changing up a little bit of the core. And I don't know what that means. And it's hard where they sit right now to actually identify who that core is. Like, go to a number of teams and we can rally or, you know, spew off four names and go, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know where they are today. Like, you would have thought Tim Stützle would have been as much of an untouchable as anybody in the league.
I still
and,
think
and
he is.
Still
he
still is. Yeah. Still is, but he's not faring well here. None of them are.
Stützle has
Norris, Batherson.
A point per game this year.
Kachuk,
7 goals.
We know Kachuk's not going anywhere, but he's struggling too.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you move here?
I don't think you do some sort of panic thing where you finally have good pieces and you trade them out because you need to do something different here. Like, you know, they need to add to this group and give them a chance. They're still very young. You know, the core guys you're talking about, Stutzla's 21.
But they
Chuck's 24. Norris is 24.
Claude Giroux and Tarasenko and Kubalik.
So they trade those guys.
Yeah, which they will.
Yeah.
They will come towards the trade deadline, no question. All right, let's welcome in head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Chris Knobloch. Chris, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. I imagine since you taking over, what, November 12th with a 16-6, there's a lot of people in Edmonton breathing a little better these days.
Yeah, no, things have been going really well, especially lately within our last six games. For me, I've been ecstatic being a part of this. Obviously, a chance to become a head coach, but head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, it's been really exciting.
And I guess I want to ask specifically about it being the Oilers. You didn't get handed some, you know, roster with guys, up-and-coming guys. It was, here's the best player to ever have played hockey and, you know, some fellow wonderful players. How has it been for you adjusting to using talent like that, you know, something that few coaches on earth ever get to experience?
No, I know I'm very fortunate to coach Connor McDavid. To do it once is remarkable, let alone twice.
Yeah.
Getting him in junior hockey and in the NHL. Yeah, it's an asset that most coaches don't get to have at their disposal, and now I'm getting to and try and optimize that as much as possible. And you can see how he can turn around a game very quickly. And you saw it the other night against Philadelphia with 5 points and 5 points in only about 16 and a half minutes. You know, it's a pleasure to have as a coach.
Okay. I want to go right there in terms of a star player, the best player on the planet playing 16 and a half minutes. This guy's got a Ferrari engine. I mean, 16 and a half minutes must feel like a cup of coffee for him. Is it hard? Is it strategic? How does a guy like that end up with 16 and a half minutes?
Well, I know that's been a season low for him this year, certainly since I've been here. Just the other night when we were in LA, I think he had 24 minutes. You know, we don't want to run him up 24 minutes every night. If anyone can handle it, definitely can be him. But, you know, we're getting contributions from everybody in our team. Obviously, he's our best player in the league. And we're just trying to utilize him as best as possible. And, you know, sometimes the games, the flow and matchups, whatever's happening, you kind of have to just sometimes things just work out the way they do.
Just to follow up, Chris, I mean, as a coach, big picture stuff, I know the team's not in a position to think comfortably about the playoffs based on the start, but there is, as a head coach, is it an afterthought to think what's going to be left of my core guys here and trying to balance it out over 82 games?
Absolutely. That's something to consider, but also considering just week to week, you know, the next night you play, you know, certainly if you're playing back to back right now, our schedule in January is pretty, pretty comfortable just with, we don't have no back to backs. Our travel isn't too hectic. But as we get into the grind, I know with our schedule later in the season, that's something we have to consider a lot about. Just it's a lot more of, yes, you want to manage these guys' ice times, not wear them out, but also having other guys feeling part of the team. And, you know, if a line's playing well, you kind of give those guys a little more ice time. And right now, the McDavid line's been maybe the best line in the NHL right now. And with Nugent Hopkins and Zach Hyman, and we've been getting a lot out of those guys.
You know, Chris, beyond McDavid, you do have guys you just mentioned, Nugent Hyman and, you know, Dreisaitl and Kane. You know, you have this sort of elite group of guys, and that's kind of the salary cap era. A lot of teams are built in that sort of top-heavy way. Where do you stand sort of philosophically on the idea of different rules for different players? I mean, we've been talking about accountability on our show and just trying to get a sense for your theory. Is it sort of everyone with the same playbook, or do you kind of have to handle the different layers and levels of player differently within your team?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to handle the players differently, but you also have to treat them all fairly. And how you balance that is very difficult as a coach, and there isn't just a handbook to say, this is what I'm going to do in this situation. Certain players are, you know, you don't want to see turnovers at the blue line just because of what are they going to create? You know, obviously, we've been talking about McDavid a lot. You know, obviously there's going to be mistakes and there's going to be turnovers, but you see the upside of the plays that he can make, right? Opposed to maybe somebody who's not playing the same kind of minutes, who's on the fourth line. You know, even if he does beat that defenseman at the blue line, what's he going to do with the next play? And, you know, just trying to get our players to understand that, to encourage them to play to their strengths. You know, it's always it's never easy. It's otherwise, you know, everyone can be doing this job. But, you know, I think as a coach, you're just trying to get the best out of every player and getting them to play to their strengths.
We're talking to Chris Knobloch, head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, who are now on a 16-6 run since taking over the hockey club. And when you did take over, Chris, I think it was 3 wins in 13 for the Edmonton Oilers to start. So where was the top priority when you took over? Was it just the mental psyche here of maybe a shock team or a shock city to reset mentally? Or was it technical, right away seeing something that you wanted different throughout your lineup in terms of strategy or systems? Where did it really truly begin?
I think there's three areas that we wanted to address. One was the psyche. There was obviously a lot of frustration, and anytime players frustrated, you're not going to get the most out of them, whether it's an elite athlete, the best players, or your fourth liners. They got to feel comfortable, confident to play their best ability. I think we had to take away some of the pressure off them and kind of just have them just think about playing hockey and focus on the next game opposed to the Stanley Cup or making the playoffs or where they were in the standings. I think that was the priority. Another one was the penalty kill, trying to shore that up and kind of finding a rhythm there. And we, you know, Stewie took over the penalty kill. He's been doing an outstanding job with that. But also we using different players and different roles kind of to settle that down. Penalty kill has been pretty good the last couple months. And then the other one was just on, it's usually team defense. How, you know, anytime there's a coach change, it's usually you're giving up too many goals. And whether there's many factors for that, whether it's goaltending or defensive systems or just accountability. I found that a lot of the goals against were coming off the rush, and we kind of discussed what we could do about that, and a little bit of system, but a little bit of buy-in, and having players do their job. And, you know, I think we've done a better job of that lately.
You know, I think it's a unique situation when you come into a dressing room where a core of the team has been there for some years and you bring new ideas that probably haven't been there. How easy or how receptive has the team been to your ideas? And what does that relationship look like when you go to the guys who've done it a certain way and have a certain culture and say, actually, I'd like to change this?
It's very difficult. Just when you're going to introduce those new systems. And we talked about trying to settle the players down and have them playing to their strengths. And you know, if you're giving them a bunch of new ideas and new systems, then they're not going to be able to just go out and play hockey and relax. And when I first got here, there's very minimal changes that I implemented. First of all, I wanted to find out what is their system, what is their vocabulary, what are they doing, and how can we improve it? And the first couple of weeks, we really didn't do very much. You know, we had a goal and we wanted to settle them down and wanting them to ultimately just play hockey. After about 2 weeks, we had a nice little break where we had 5 days off. So there was a couple of days off, but we had three, I feel, quality practices. And then we started to implement a little bit of changes. But as a new coach coming in, there's only so much you can do because the game comes down to just being able to execute. Yes, it has a little bit to do with systems and, you know, there's those advantages that you can have, but the biggest advantages you can have is just your players feeling confident and going out there and just playing hockey.
Chris, when I heard that Paul Coffey was going to go behind the bench full-time, I told him he's nuts. Like, are you crazy? You got the cushiest job or the cushiest life in the world right now. What do you want to go
just
into
go
that
Paul Coffey for a living.
Environment? But yet, this guy's never missed a challenge in his life and not come out on top. How's it been working with him? And, you know, what kind of effect has he had on a guy like Darnell Nurse?
Yeah, well, absolutely. That would be a challenge. Something that, you know, come into the situation and obviously not knowing me very well. And then now we're here, we are working side by side every day. And the effect that he's had on, especially the defensemen, and I've been so happy with our group of six, how well they've been playing, all three pairs of them. And I think his message has been very simple and very direct for the players on just, hey, we want you getting involved in the play. We want you making plays. Hey, don't worry about if you do make a mistake. It's how we're going to recover from that. And he's got them skating up and down the ice, whether they're getting involved in the play or just being defending. And it's been nice to see. And I think it's just been a nice calming voice on the back end that the defenseman that we have really appreciate his message.
And what is, you know, just looking at that decor, I'm fascinated by the pair of Ekholm and Bouchard, who are at different points in their careers and have different priorities, I would say, as players. How are they meshing together? And you know, just tell us about that pair. I'm fascinated by them in general.
They've been, you know, they've got a lot of chemistry before I got here.
Yeah.
And we haven't changed very much. Defensive pairings, we played around with it maybe in my first week or two. Made a little bit of changes, but ultimately we stuck with what was in place before I got here. And with the Ekholm and Bouchard pairing, right now as a pair, they're probably the best pair analytically. Just with the scoring chances that they're giving up has been minimal, and the chances they're getting and creating has been huge. And a lot of that has to do with they're on the ice a lot with McDavid's line. So you're out there with the best line in the NHL.
Right.
You're also going to have good analytics too. But their play is, I don't want to give all the credit to McDavid and Nugent Hopkins and Hyman. Those two on the back end have a lot to do. They've contributed a lot to their success. And probably the biggest thing is just puck movement, just being able to get the puck into the forward's hands so they can go and attack and they're not chasing pucks down and having to forecheck, and having controlled entries is a huge advantage.
Just in terms of goaltending, so many question marks around the league right now for even contending teams such as yourselves. I know in Toronto here it's a hot button topic, but just the way Skinner's been able to handle the workload and settle things down since Jack Campbell's got waived. And, you know, Chris, is there a thought process that maybe Jack could work himself back into the mix?
I don't know. I can just comment on the two goalies that I've seen this year, and I've been very, very happy with both of them. Skins has looked like a very good quality starting goaltender. He's had the majority of our games. Calvin Pickard has been playing really good. He's got a save percentage of about 905, a winning record. And there's been some games where we haven't been very good defensively, and he's come up very big. So, Yeah, Jack Campbell's has a future with the organization. Where he fits in, I don't know. But from what I experience right now, and with the two goalies that we have, they're playing really well, and they're going to continue to get their starts.
Chris, last one for me. Just, you've been there with the team for a while now. You guys are having success. It's been a whirlwind, I'm sure. Have you had a moment to have like a welcome to the NHL moment? Have you looked around and been like, okay, you know, this is just taking stock of where you're at and how successful things have been?
I don't know. I think every time that welcome to the NHL moment is when, especially when we're at home and the players hit the ice, and the coaches kind of walk in after that. And, you know, it's nice and quiet in the dressing room because pretty much everyone's cleared out. There's very few people left in there besides a couple coaches and maybe somebody, equipment managers that are helping out cleaning up and stuff like that. But walking out to the tunnel and you see the ice and then it's still quiet, but then you get about, about 10 or 15 feet from the bench, and then the noise hits you and the excitement, the energy, then it's like, yes, this is the NHL. This is really exciting. And you're running on adrenaline for the next 2.5 hours.
Excellent stuff, Chris. We really appreciate your time. Good luck against Ottawa and the rest of the way. We really appreciate you coming on our show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Chris Knobloch, head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. And no question. First of all, he's not the flashiest guy, and I'm just thinking that might be perfect for what they needed at that time. He's never going to be a soundbite guy. He's never going to come in. You're not going to hear the sarcasm. We've heard from other coaches.
It's not Paul Maurice.
Not Tortorella. This guy.
He's going to coach. He,
just like his interview, it's methodical, it's all business, and there is a level of calmness. I don't think he'll ever get excited.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be the perfect thing right now.
Yeah. There are a lot of coaches like that who say, this is the way we're going to play. I'm going to, hold the guys accountable, and to use that word again today, if we're not playing that way.
Don't tell Doug.
That's right. But you're right, Kip. There was a lot in Canada in particular when there's a circus around the team and questions and articles and interviews for these guys. Some, not that Woodcroft was not, good about that sort of stuff either. He was good about it too, but you're right. He doesn't make news, and they need no news.
He could lose six in a row or win six in a row, and I don't think you would ever tell the difference by his demeanor.
I get your point. Yeah. Yes. No.
They've won 16 composed. Of their first 24 games that he's been the coach, and So
can't argue with results.
Yeah,
it's great. All right, we on to game time.
Well, they get to play the Ottawa Senators tomorrow.
By the way, the Oilers schedule coming up: Ottawa last, Blackhawks last, Red Wings not great, Canadians pretty close to last. They've got some winnable hockey games ahead. It will not be long before they're in a playoff spot, and it will not be long before it's where are they in the division. And the only question now is not if they get out of a wild card spot and into those top three for me, but just how high up they get.
So what are the Canucks at? Because they're leading that division, right?
Yes, the Canucks are leading the NHL, I think, are they not? No, 2 points out of the NHL lead. Canucks have 51. The Oilers have 39. Canucks have played three more games. The Oilers 12 points back with three games in hand.
I got to tell you, we made fun of the West for not, like, the top end of the West.
Very good. Very good.
And the Oilers are staring down the barrel here. If they do get hot and they get into a playoff spot or they go up into the third spot in the division, potential matchup with Vegas.
Give me that again. Give me a repeat.
Or in the first round? That's what's so stupid.
What everyone's the best.
Yeah, but that's the stupidest part about this.
It is stupid.
About this playoff format, and you don't need to get Leaf fans started on this, but it's like you're going to have these divisions where you're getting Vegas in the first round against potentially Colorado versus Edmonton in the first round, where it's like two of the better teams are playing.
I hate one versus format. Eight, right?
Of course. What was wrong with 1-8? You don't have enough rivalries. Oh my God. Like, no one hits anyone anyway. There's no rivalries.
Sound like drunk uncle from SNL.
No, it's true, though, man. Like, not enough rivalry. We got to have rivalry. Like, shut up. Just do 1 versus 8. It works the best.
Certainly didn't get the impression that
Jack Campbell's
coming up anytime soon.
No, he did not say was imminent.
What are Jack Campbell's AHL numbers? Have we looked at that recently?
Oh, don't do this.
I'm going to do it.
Don't do this to me.
I'm going to do it right now.
So if the trajectory...
Well, it's not good.
Great drop in, Monte.
If
the trajectory continues for Skinner...
Oof.
You assume that it's his to lose from here on in.
Yeah, well, yes.
Which means
it's not Calvin Pickens
not,
to win.
You're not trading for Gibson.
You're not?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I think that they can say all the right things and still not be confident this guy's going to win him a cup.
Are you trading for Gibson?
No.
Need someone.
Gibson makes.
I mean, is Gibson really good?
I don't know. Yeah, I think there's a market for Gibson, but I'll tell you what's going to have to happen.
Soros
in Anaheim is that they're going to have to eat
a lot,
almost half.
Yeah,
to get him into a contending team. So what's Gibson at? $6 million?
Yeah,
something like that.
For a long time, I feel like.
So Oilers, Leafs, somebody's going to be able to wiggle him in. At $3 million,
Leafs.
Don't know. Are they not one of the teams that are considering a goalie?
John Gibson has not been very good for a long time. Like he's not. I guess
he's bounced back. I think
there's a lot. I think there's interest in him.
Yeah, he's
just not
back,
at his price.
Well, 904, 903, 904, 899, 904.
He's
a good goalie.
League average.
Guys.
League average. Great. Hey. Yeah, for $6 million bucks.
He's no $3 million. Three. We've chopped it in half.
Oh, okay.
50% retention.
Because Skinner's making more than that, right? Just saying. I'm just saying.
And then after Gibson, Jake Allen. Could you see the Oilers taking on Jake Allen and saying more for Skinner 1-1A?
To me, Skinner is probably better or the same as Jake Allen.
Yeah.
Like, that's a sideways move. Like, the guy is Soros for every team.
But
they should be trading Soros to get everything for him.
We're in the new world of goaltending here. It's not about...
nobody's good?
It's about what happens if that guy gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're at. And can he come in and fill the void? Or are we just going to give it to Pickard?
Can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
The way, I looked up Jack Campbell's AHL numbers with mild disgust. He's played 11 games. His record is 5-6 and one shootout loss with a 3.32 goals against and an 8.93 save percentage at the AHL level.
Well,
yeah, just move on.
I don't know what league average save percentage is in the AHL. Maybe it's 8.92. It's probably not 8.92.
That's
all right.
That's not how they pictured it going.
No.
He's been out for a while.
Guy. I hope he finds his way back.
I really hope he does too, but
I also think shouldn't they just give him another chance? Like, I guess it's the salary cap thing; just makes too much money.
Mm.
Well, I mean, I guess they're only burying 1.15.
1.15, yeah.
So,
You're on.
Is he
the
not
hook.
Better than Pickard?
It could just be a chemistry thing.
Puck just kept one in the net.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It drops today. Yeah.
Okay. Mean ones. Okay.
Chris Knobloch's pretty happy as it is. We just got that sense. Hey, don't break what ain't broken.
Did not want to talk about Jack Campbell.
No, they're playing tomato cans every night, so not too bad.
Yeah, that helps.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Only a few games tonight. I'm just quickly pulling up the schedule here.
Three
games.
We have
100 or three.
100 or three.
Yeah, that's the mix that we have. Bedard and the Blackhawks on the second half of a back-to-back going into New Jersey. No value on either side of that, clearly. You're not going to probably bet the Blackhawks in the second half of a back-to-back, but you're not probably going to bet the Devils at minus 400.
Minus 400.
Yeah, so you're going to stay away from that. But to me, a Connor Bedard goal is always a fun bet because he's literally the only thing to watch on that team. So plus 175 for a Connor Bedard goal.
Okay.
It's going to keep going back to the well last night. I was right on half of my bet yesterday. The Rangers did wax them, but the Connor Bedard did not score. Yeah. And I'm looking at the Ducks and Winnipeg. I watched the Ducks very closely the other night. They absolutely rot. I like the Jets minus 190. And if you even want to go minus a goal in the half, it's plus 135.
All right, now we're
okay.
Jets are really good, and the Ducks are really bad.
Correct. Zegras.
Yes.
Was a ghost in that game.
Yeah. Zegrest.
Is he? Does he not rub you kind of the wrong way sometimes?
I think you're bringing this up because you guys know how I felt about the audio when he was mic'd up on the bench. And I, first off, actually got the shivers listening to it. Like, ugh.
He's just
on the bench, he said a couple of things where he's just like singing along and whatever. But the other one where he's telling a guy in the team, hey, do you see me in the slot there? No? Wide open. Wide open. And the guy was like, all right, just holler at me. He goes, yeah, just take two steps out of the corner and get your head up. I'm there wide open. It's like, okay, just, you know, it just really rubbed me the wrong way.
Oh, yeah, you don't like Zegras.
No.
I'm not a fan either.
And like, maybe he's an awesome guy or whatever.
And they're trying really hard to make him one of those faces and put him on a video game. And, you know, even the Michigan, which is phenomenal.
His
Michigan this year is the nastiest.
I don't know. I think I caught in our pregame Wednesday night. One of the, maybe even it was Jen asked him about the Michigan.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of blew it off a little bit, right?
Yeah.
He didn't, which.
I saw this interview.
Did you?
Yeah.
He's I know exactly what you're talking about. Year.
Okay.
And he was like, it sounded like he didn't want to talk about that kind of things. He wants people to take him seriously as a player.
Exactly.
Yeah.
100%. You could almost sense that. You know, the world still wants to celebrate it and talk about it. And he didn't want to.
I think he recognizes to get paid, you have to be a winning hockey player.
And he's...
He's not... You can't... He's... To your point, no one's taking him seriously.
Give his numbers.
The most he's known for right now is the Michigan.
Yeah.
And he's not known as a 200-foot player. And he's not seen as a leader. And he's not seen as anything but a guy who can do a trick shot.
Kip, he makes almost $6 million per year, and he has 2 goals in 17 games. So Michigan it up all you like.
Yes.
People want to see you be more effective, period.
Oh, you know who wants to? His general manager, his coach.
Yeah.
And
5.75 for three more seasons.
And they did not give him an 8-year deal. Yeah. And he will not be there.
He has to show them that he's a hockey player, not a trick shot artist. And the league over the years has had these amazingly skilled guys. Robbie Schrempf was an unbelievable skilled guy and a talented player. Wow. Didn't have the career he maybe could have had with his talent because he kind of got pigeonholed as this trick shot guy.
That's all he is to me right now. Play the right way. Mm. Hey, who said
10
that?
Minutes ago?
It sounded like you, or I don't know. It sounded like a combination of, was that AI?
Play the right way.
That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll go through our news and notes. A couple things we got to talk about, including Sid Crosby. Guys, we're not talking about this guy enough. And
I mean,
the incredible season
he's having. I'll talk about him all day.
Well, we will after the break. Also, we want you to text us some questions, some thoughts at 590-590. It's Off the Rails Friday, which means we'll open it up to whatever you send us the rest of the way. We're back after these words. It's Real Kipper and Bourne.
My mic was off.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, it's Friday. It's off the rails.
We're actually just saying we're the number one bar show on earth. All just Sammy's friends texting them pictures of themselves drinking at the bar at 5:30.
Well, it's Friday after all.
It is a good time. This used to be prime time.
Yeah. So,
this is the best time
of the week. Can you explain to me this guy who was at the golf simulator?
Oh, my God. With pleasure.
Yeah.
Jersey Jerry?
Yeah.
This was one of the more remarkable pieces of content, as you will say. Streamed for, I think, 37 hours straight, including him sleeping. They streamed it. He got massages. They brought in a blow-up bed. And all in pursuit of him making a hole-in-one on a simulator because he said he would stream until he made one.
Said he would stream until he made a hole in one. 80 yards, Pebble Beach, number 7, and he just hit.
He could have been there for months.
I mean, he started developing a blister. It's like game over.
I had, before we sold our house, I had a golf simulator in the basement.
Oh, okay.
And I had that thing for 7 years, 8 years.
Never made hole in ones?
No. Never did.
Well,
and let me tell you something. During the pandemic, I was there 4 or 5 hours a day. Every day.
My daughter was just born. We had very different pandemic experiences. Yeah. Let me tell you.
This guy's crushing Vino, swinging the club in the basement.
Two kids in a Toronto-sized apartment.
I got my handicap down to a 7.
But, it was just, because I brought this up to you guys early on in it. I was like, this is hilarious. And you guys are like, okay, buddy, what the hell are you watching? And then it just, it swept the internet. Everyone was talking about it.
It's not relevant until, you're into some, endurance feed, which it got there. 2,670 swings, I think.
People would go on the internet and watch him sleep.
I don't know. I didn't watch that part of it. But, yeah, you could.
I'd say no if I know that my wife didn't sometimes watch random baby eagles in a nest somewhere on the internet. So,
That's just weird.
Sure, it's super weird.
Of course.
Yeah.
But they're kind of weird. That's what they do.
Content, and
he made the ace. You both have aces, right? Yeah. I don't have one.
Very young.
I will never.
You don't?
Yeah, and I won't get one.
I got two.
Yes, you will. You have two?
I got two. My first one, Magna.
Okay. Mr. Not a big deal
172
today.
Wow.
And I'm
legit
with
as it gets.
Eric Lindros and Rob DiMaio.
Really?
Wow.
And I hit a 7, and we saw it go in, and you would have thought I scored double overtime in game 7.
Well, that's the appropriate reaction.
The Big E stepped on my toe and broke it.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's Tony Finau with the ace throwing his ankle out right after.
And then went in the shot -3 for the weekend after that at the Masters.
That's right. Yeah. My dad has a hole-in-one. His one hole-in-one was at the Clark Gillies Golf Tournament, where he won a Hyundai Santa Fe, 52 dozen golf balls, and a speaker system or something. So he timed his very well.
Yeah, that's nice.
My dad picked up golf at age 63, I think, and had two.
Sammy, you got time, pal.
Sammy, plenty of time.
Yeah, it's never happening.
I just have
plenty
feeling.
Of time.
I don't hit him close enough, boys. Sid?
Before Sid, United States takes the World Junior gold medal.
Yeah,
6-2 is the final.
Have you seen Sam's tweet during our show about
this?
No,
I did
not.
Who cares?
I care about your tweet.
What'd you say?
I mean,
this
it's
Sammy,
snarky.
This is really setting up in the next few years, Canada versus the U.S.
Olympics, baby.
Well, yeah. They won. Correct. Obviously, they won. They have a They have a very good team full of great players.
Yeah.
But Canada had an underwhelming team this year. Of course, the underwhelming team was one where the two Leafs prospects were playing for it. That's very nice. Captain, Mr. Minton, underwhelmed a little bit. But they're just kids. We won't get after it. But, if Canada had their eligible players who were playing in the NHL, they win in a walk. They have Bedard on the team. They'll have Fantilli on the team. Zach Benson's playing for them. That Korchinski from... who's playing 20 a night for the Blackhawks. Shane Wright's eligible still.
This is his tweet, which is, I'm sure Canada would have been out in the quarters with Bedard, Fantilli, Benson, Wright, Korchinski, all eligible.
You put more effort in that tweet than you have our whole show.
America's guys just can't crack the NHL. That's
America's
the issue.
Guys just aren't on NHL teams. They're dominating for Boston College. And
pretty good point.
It's true. It's like we have these down years at the World Juniors, and it's just the way it works. But a lot of our young guys are really good because they go to the best league and they don't get to play in
this. Busy winning NHL games.
Yeah. So, listen, congratulations to USA for winning.
That was the U.S. team,
They're good for them.
That was very sincere.
Golf clap.
Congratulations, America. You did it. I will say, though, it's awesome that they're really good.
It is
and,
fun.
You know, it's nice to have a threat. It's nice to have a threat to have the best hockey nation.
Fisticuffs at the end of the game.
I'm thrilled.
I think they should have a best. I think the real thing should just be a best. They don't need to do this stupid 4-team tournament. Just do a best of 7.
Let's go.
Best of 7, U.S. versus Canada.
Tomorrow.
It would be the greatest hockey thing ever. There'd be no. That's the true test.
Everyone likes making money. You could sell
Sweden's
sponsorships
quite good.
On that.
Sweden's quite good as well.
Yeah.
I understand that, but I think America.
3-team tournament. They can come in.
Sure. 7-game series, baby.
Yeah, I don't think that'll ever happen.
And by the way, everyone talks about goaltending. Aiden Hill leading the league in goals against and save percentage.
I picked him for the Vezina on TV last night.
Love
it. So far, Vezina.
And he, pride of Vancouver Island.
I didn't know Devin Levi was a Canadian. It's nice to have more of them.
We got guys.
We got guys.
We'll be fine.
Okay. Last night.
Speaking of guys who are a Canadian.
Looked like Pitt very much in control. Boston comes back. But Sid finds a way to get them over the top. I said before the break, like, Sid's having another amazing year over the course of his career. I think he's cracked 50 goals just once, and probably in his third or fourth year in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is turning 37 this summer, and he's on pace for, I think, 50 goals this year.
Yeah.
Like, but
2009, 2010, the only time he cracked 50.
Okay.
Inside the top 20 in scoring at age 36. That's LeBron, what he's
13,
doing right now.
14 years ago.
Yep.
So, like, why aren't we talking about this guy more?
You know what's interesting is, like, even a year or two ago, Crosby was better than people realized. Like, all the analytics, all that, he was as valuable to his team as some of the other guys. He really hasn't tailed off much, which obviously physically you have to at his age. So it's incredible that his hockey brain allows him to continue this insanity.
And this isn't a great team.
No, that's for sure.
That Pittsburgh team.
That's for sure.
So
what are they doing right now?
Like, he is absolutely carrying them.
Yeah, he
pretty bad.
He's 41 points in 37 games.
So is it just because maybe for us here in this country that Austin and Connor just suck all the oxygen out of us, and there's really not much room to talk about Sid anymore?
It's almost like there's not much to say because he's so consistently good. It's like,
yeah, he's been.
Look, he's still doing the thing he's been doing for as long as most of us have been watching the last 20 years.
More than a point per game in all 19 seasons in his career.
And so, yeah, you're right. There comes a point where you're like, when it maintains that level of consistency, it's worth noting because he should be tailing off and it's just not happening. Incredible season by him. I do think the Penguins are figuring out a little bit. 7-2-1 in their last 10, a point out of the wild card spot now.
Like, Sid scoring 50 goals this year and then missing the playoffs is really gonna suck for him.
And trade to the Montreal Canadiens, who he liked as a kid.
He's retiring a Penguin, I'm convinced.
Think so?
Someone actually sent a text. I'm going through our million texts, but I know what it said, so I forget. I can't give him credit. But where would be the most fun Sid end of career destination?
You know what, though?
And my vote would be Toronto. Would be my vote.
just a vote.
Yeah, I don't vote here. No reason.
I do think, Edmonton with Connor McDavid would be a little bit of fun. But I think that guys going home to their favorite teams is nice, but then you see Giroux go to Ottawa when the team isn't ready for him. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not ready to compete, and it's almost a little disheartening. So Montreal maybe doesn't quite work.
No, it has to be on a team where we can watch him play in May and June.
Right. So, yeah.
Colorado with Nate.
That's a nice one.
I mean, yeah, but it's not as fun.
Just Toronto for you?
I think
Canucks.
Canada would be awesome.
Yeah.
To have him play in Canada.
If Montreal was better,
for sure,
that would be fun.
That would be an absolute nightmare. Truly,
as
would
an
be
Easter,
no greater nightmare.
Did he grow up a Montreal fan?
He did, yeah,
he loved the Habs.
This is my nightmare!
Yes, correct.
Sammy, you'd love that, right? Him in a Montreal uniform?
There was to be nothing that would make me more sick than
you have said he's your guy, right?
He's my favorite.
Grow up?
Yes.
Sick?
It's him and Matt Sundin, my two favorite hockey players of all time. I love Sidney Crosby.
Would you want Sid to win a cup with Montreal?
No chance. He's got three. Fine. He's got two gold medals, multiple gold medals.
Yeah.
He's got his, like, he's fine. But if it's going to be somewhere else where he wins a cup, Colorado's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Leafs would be ideal. But, yeah.
I see it.
Yeah.
All right, you got any texts for us? I've been pumping it up like crazy.
I'm just trying to pour through all the texts we got here. So I'm getting a couple texts about my take on Canada's guys.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Hey guys, love the show. I hate to call out Sammy because I love the guy."
You shouldn't hate that.
But I think the U.S. team would have been better, too, with Luke Hughes and Logan Cooley. Ugh. I hate when people make good points.
But two guys, you named seven Canadians, I think.
Yeah, Bedard would definitely be seven. Bedard would definitely be the guy that would take it over the top. But yeah, Luke Hughes and
fair enough.
And where are we on Arizona?
Who cares?
No, I do.
I got a question.
Well, they're better than expected.
If we care enough to talk about Cooley, then we're...
They're better than expected, yeah. For sure.
I have a question here.
I have a thought on that after.
What do you think Draisaitl will get for his new contract?
I love this conversation.
Put your names on the text so I can read it.
I think the Coyotes should be buyers, to your point before. That would be fascinating to see them try to get aggressive.
Yeah.
Draisaitl, I think this guy is... really interesting guy. I really like Leon Draisaitl. Like, he's one of my favorite guys to listen to. I think his, like, pissiness is hilarious.
What do you think Speck gets?
I'm curious to see if Leon wants to dig in or if he's a guy who just doesn't want the stress. And just if he wants to dig in, he could probably make a case for $15
million
per season.
More than Matthews?
I mean, he's won a Hart Trophy as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, his point totals have been higher than Matthews pretty much all the way along.
Mm-hmm.
Matthews.
$15 million. You're nuts. $15 million.
I think the contracts are going to go up.
I don't think my buddy here is that far off.
The salary cap is going to the moon.
Listen,
over the next 5 years.
I love driving the price up of Edmonton Oilers players. So sure, $15 million. I mean, that's crazy.
Great observation.
If he wanted to, Edmonton cannot afford to have him leave. You can't trade Leon Draisaitl. You got to pay him what he wants.
It's just not trading. Leon, it's
now what do you do with Connor?
What message are you sending to 97 if you're moving this guy? McJesus,
you're sending a message that, anyways, but, we'll save that one for a different day about McDavid.
Like, you are at the point, Sammy, where you're thinking about both Draisaitl and McDavid together, so it's not what you're going to give. Draisaitl, it's what are you going to pay these guys together? And I think it's a minimum of $32 million between the two. How do you want to break it up, boys? You want to go right down the middle? Or Connor, do you want to make $1 million more than him?
Mm-hmm.
But are you going to make $3 million more than Leon?
Should.
Yeah, probably.
But will someone be out there willing to pay Leon almost as much as Edmonton's going to pay Connor?
Connor's just going to take less and sign for 8 years and just be there.
Nah,
just
I'm not
be
so
no,
sure.
No
but this is the thing. What is also, less, like, though? What is
but
less?
Like, he'll just take under market value for 8 years and just play there his whole career, and we'll never talk about it. Like, we have to talk about everything in Toronto. He'll be like, yep, I'll sign on the dotted line. Good Canadian boy. Boop, boop, boop. And all the guys here are like, let's make it.
32 is wild, though, because now you're talking 17, 15.
Here's another question. What's my team look like then?
Mm-hmm.
I've spent half my career in the prime years not coming close to a Stanley
Cup.
Are we
winning?
Am I signing another 8 years to be that guy who is a Hall of Famer but never got a sniff so I can listen to everybody go, hey, good player, but when did he ever win?
And your Draisaitl is a
for
year
stars,
later than Matthews.
Just ask Charles Barkley. That's all he deals with.
Right.
What did you win?
Yeah. He won millions and millions of dollars.
And they can too.
This is from Kevin. Boys, we need 2 7-game series, Canada, USA, and Sweden versus Finland. Keep more players, fans involved. That would be electric.
But then anything to play in the final after?
Yeah, 3-gamer in the final.
Okay,
guys. It's the weekend.
Oh my God, is
rest.
It?
Relax.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Our thanks to head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Chris Knobloch, and Off the Rails Friday specialist, Doug McClain.
I can't think of two more different people.
Well said. Well said.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. As always, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend.